Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So the title of our message for the day and the theme is A Partnership Built in Love. A partnership built in love. And in our Old Testament lesson and in our epistle lesson today, you really heard a lot about this idea of partnership and love. Can any of you think of a partnership of love that would be a great example of a partnership in love today? Anybody? Marriage. Thank you. Very good. That's what I was thinking. You read my mind. Right, marriage. We think of marriage as it is a partnership in love, right? Two coming together as one flesh, you know, being one in the Lord, living their lives in this great partnership and fellowship with each other and loving each other. And marriage is so easy, isn't it? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? We know it's not easy, right? It's not. Marriage takes work. Marriage takes sacrifice. Marriage takes compromise, collaboration, patience, especially, well, never mind. But anyways, yes, yeah, right, it does, right? And what does that tell us about the word love? The thing that our society today commonly mistakes about love is that it's an emotion or a feeling. That's what we commonly mistake about it. Now, there are uses in Scripture where it is defined that way, but not very common. And when it talks about marriage and partnerships in love, it's not talking about love being an emotion or a partnership. That's why, you know, Scripture tells us we have to love one another. Because love isn't an emotion or a feeling, it is a verb, which implies action. Let's be quite honest. There are some days where it is really hard to love your spouse. Anybody ever experienced that? Come on, be honest. Nobody's raising their hand. Okay, but you know what I mean, right? Right? Yeah, it is. You have to work harder at it than some days. You don't have to raise it now. You were too late, but that's okay. Delayed reaction. But you all understand this. Love is an action verb. It is something we do. And our culture and society today has totally lost that. Look at our world around us. Murders and shootings and politics and hatred and I don't have to fill you in. Just turn on the news and you'll catch the drift or read the newspaper. Look at a lot of churches today. People don't even love each other in churches today. Thank God we're a family here. At least we got that here, and that's wonderful. That's a great blessing for us. But love is a verb. It means there's action implied. And sometimes it means you have to work harder at it than other times, right? Running is a verb. Isn't it? I don't run very often. And when I run, I have to work really hard at it. So hard that really I don't run. If you ever see me running, you better run too, because that means there's something chasing me. You understand what I'm saying? It's a verb. And we miss that. And so it's so important us today as we look at this idea of a partnership in love to keep that in mind. Our Old Testament lesson today calls us into a unique partnership with God. God himself is saying to us, I want you to come in this partnership with me. If you love me, if you'll stay with me, we're going to do great things together. He says, today I set before you two things, and you must choose between life and good, death and evil. Now, you're smart people. Which one of you sounds more like love? Hello? Life and good, right? Okay, I was getting a little worried there for a second. Phew. Life and good. And if you think about it, when you go throughout life sharing love, when you go throughout life loving your spouse, when you go throughout life with an attitude of love, isn't life pretty good? It is, isn't it? It's a lot easier. But when we're grumpy and we hold grudges and we fail to forgive and we fail to act in love, what is life like then? It's hard. And you get that bitterness inside. And you kind of get that feeling, and, you know, I hate to say it, but people can kind of tell, because you can tell those kind of people because they're kind of grumpy all the time, and they have those scowl looks on their faces. You know what I'm talking about? And so God says, be in partnership with me. Choose love, choose life, and choose good, and let us together go out into the world and show the world who I am. Because the reason that we choose love is that when we go out from this place, when we go out into our community, when we're scattered abroad, we are not doing it to glorify ourselves. We're doing it because when people see us loving, they actually see God in us at work. So it becomes this partnership. Where does that partnership begin? Good Lutherans. In baptism, yes, very good. I didn't have to write this sermon today. You guys are already doing it, so I'm just going to sit down. I'm done. In baptism, as God claims us with his Spirit and makes us his child and says you are mine and gives us his kingdom, all that life and good and grace and mercy and all those blessings, this beautiful partnership occurs. And he says, you are now my child. You are now my presence. You are now mine in this world to serve me with love. But what in the world does love look like? I wish I had a video camera, and this week I would have gone throughout the streets of Fort Worth and asked people, what does love look like? I wonder what people would have said. What do you think people would have said love looks like? Just out of curiosity. What do you think the average person would say? A dog. Well, you know, that's a good answer, because we all know that's true. Not a cat, but a dog. That is true. We won't go any farther with that. What else? What else? Kindness? What else? Whoa, what? Kissing and hugging, okay? We don't take kissing in church. No, I'm just joking. What else? Commitment. What? Very good. Heart? Yeah, a heart. Because on Valentine's Day, when we celebrate love, what do we give people? Stuff shaped like hearts, right? But here's the reality of what love looks like, and we as Christians know it more than anyone else. Love looks like Jesus, the Savior of the world, hanging on a tree to die for you and me, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be right with God, restored completely, so that when God the Father looks upon us, he sees us as perfect, loved, and redeemed children. He doesn't see our sins because they're removed as far as the east and from the west. Is that love? You betcha. Is that action? Yes. Is that a verb? Yes. Jesus dying to love us. Love looks like Jesus suffering in all his suffering on earth, even when he suffered with his temptation in the wilderness. In all his suffering with his beating and being spit upon and mocked, in his suffering, that gruesome death on the cross, that's what love looks like. What do you think the world would say about that? That's not love. That's not what it looks like. Love is pretty and flowery and special. Well, guess what? To us, it seems foolish, the Bible says, but God's love is flowery, pretty, and special as we see Jesus suffering for us so that we might have his righteousness and his perfection as he takes on our sinfulness and our death. Love looks like God the Father becoming man. This perfect God in the Trinity. This perfect God coming down and making himself flesh to dwell with us, to suffer with us, to walk with us, to heal us, to restore us. Now wait, if I were writing the story, if I were God, I wouldn't do that, I'm sorry. You're on your own, people. I'm living in perfect heaven, it's great. I'm not coming back down. I'm not coming down there. But fortunately, I'm not God. But that's how much God loves us. He came into our sick, wretched, sinful, filthy, dirty world from his perfection to become one with us so that we might be saved forever. Love looks like Jesus rising forth from the tomb 3 days after his death and saying, I am alive, and now that I've conquered the grave, you will live too. Because I am with you always. Brothers and sisters, this is what love looks like. Self-sacrificial love. Suffering is love. Putting others first is love. Some of you have seen this on Facebook, some of you haven't. And there are other pastors who have asked to borrow this story, and they're using it today. But this is a true story that happened to me this week. On Wednesday, I was on my way. I won a contest. for those of you who know I love airplanes, to go to the airport to see the last MD-80 fly out of DFW for its retirement flight. And I was so excited because I love the MD-80s. I could talk about airplanes forever, so we're not going to go there. But anyways, I was on my way to the airport. It was 6:30 in the morning. I'm so excited. And you know, I'm coming off 30 because I'm 121, you know. And you come off 30 and you go down through there. And there's that double white line. And I'm in my lane. And there's a gentleman in a very large pickup truck who decides he wants my lane and hits my car. Loud thump. Car shook. So I'm like, oh, crap. I'm going to miss my airplane. So I pull over, and he pulls over, and the gentleman comes up to my window, and let's just say he wasn't very happy. He was yelling, and he was screaming, and he was saying some words that we would never say in church or hopefully at home, but he wasn't happy. And in Texas, I was like, I'm not rolling down my window because he could shoot me, and then I realized he could shoot me through the glass just as easily. So I didn't roll down my window, and I just nodded my head. And eventually, he threw a piece of paper down on the ground, and he walked back to his car. He sat there for a little bit, so I figured it's fine to be safe, and I noticed behind me there was a witness, so I figured, okay, and the witness was on his phone with 911. I was on my phone with 911. In fact, the guy asked me, who are you calling? I said, I'm calling the police, and he said, I don't need the police. I don't want the police here, and went back to his car. So I got out and got that piece of paper, and on that piece of paper was just his name and his phone number. That's it. But he sat there. So I said, well, I'm going to go up and see what's wrong. So I did. And when I got there, he was still very mad, and he said, well, what else do we need to do? And I said, well, I called the police, and they're on their way. He said, I'm not waiting for the police. He looked at the damage on his car, and there was a scratch on the side of his truck, and he says, I'm leaving, and he left. Well, and behold, I went back to my car, and I kid you not, I should have noticed at this point this was God working, but I didn't. There was absolutely no damage to my vehicle. All it did was hit my mirror and flipped it back. No damage. A little tiny scratch on the black. You can't even see it. I said, that's weird. I kept looking. The guy, the witness, looked. Even when the cop showed up, they looked. Pulled the mirror back. Finished up everything we got. The cops gave me his insurance information and sent me on my way. But all day long, something was inside of me just wasn't right. Why did he act that way? Why was he so upset? There was something going on, you know, and it was just a weird situation. And, you know, when you're like that, the first thing you want to do is like, I'm going to call his insurance company and make them put a new mirror on my car even though there's no damage. Or I'm going to do this. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right? We get like that, our pride. Well, there's something that I've realized as I've gone through life is that I've started asking God, and it's hard, but it's work because this is love. I've started asking God in these situations, God, what are you trying to tell me? What do you want me to see? And then I looked at the picture the witness sent me at the license plate, and I realized he had a Medal of Honor, and he was a veteran. And it suddenly dawned on me, I need to call him. I don't know, maybe he had PTSD. Maybe he was having a bad day. So I called him. Could have been risky, it was, but I called him. And we started talking, and the first thing I asked him was, are you okay? I just want to make sure you're okay. He says, yeah, I'm fine. I said, well, I noticed your license plate, and I said, I want to deeply thank you for your service to our country. And I really mean that. Military people are my heroes. We talked a little bit. And I said, I love serving our community, and I know you served our community. I serve in many ways. I'm a police chaplain. He said, well, I'm a Fort Worth police officer. And then I thought in my head, oh, that's interesting. But I didn't say anything. And we talked a little more. And then he apologized again and asked if I was okay and if there was any damage to my car. I said, miraculously, no, there's not any damage to my car. And he said, are you serious? I said, yes. And then he told me, well, I'm really sorry for what happened. My daughter was having major surgery that morning. I was a nervous wreck and on my way to the hospital. And that's when my head snapped and I said, oh God, this is you. So I said to him, sir, can we say a prayer for your daughter? And we did. We said a prayer for his daughter. And we said a prayer for him and his family. And afterwards, we talked a little more, and we shared God's peace and blessings, and that was the end of the conversation. What a powerful way that God used this situation and infused a partnership of love through me. I would have done that on my own. No way. But use me in this partnership by the Holy Spirit that was given to me in baptism to share love with this man. And look what it did. He thanked me. He thanked me and said, you know, that was the most awesome thing because I'm so worried about my daughter, but now I feel peace. Love is powerful. In our lesson for today, Paul talks about this partnership with Philemon and Onesimus, and he says, you know, we have this partnership in love, and I don't want to do anything that's going to harm you, and I want to send Onesimus back to you because he's been good for me, and he's done a lot for me while I'm in prison, but our partnership together for the gospel is the most important thing that I've got, and I don't want you, Philemon, to be upset that I've taken Onesimus from you, and I want you to take him back in love so that our partnership may continue. He did exactly what I did. He reached out with a phone call, well, no, a letter, I guess, right? And said to Philemon, listen, I love you. We have a partnership, and for the sake of the partnership of the gospel, because the gospel must be first and foremost, the message of love must be the highest thing that we work upon in our lives together as we reflect Jesus to each other and to this community. I'm sending Onesimus back to you. Please take him back with love. What happens from there, we will decide together for the good of the church, to the glory of God, and for our development in love together. You see how important this partnership is? God says, choose life and choose good. Choose life and choose good, because it's all truly about the love of Jesus. Our world today, I am convinced, would be changed instantaneously if every person, baptized child of God, began choosing love over anything else. Brothers and sisters, God loves you. And nothing will ever take that from you. He loves you completely and perfectly. And now he simply says to you today, choose life, choose good, come to this partnership that we have together, and let's go and love the world. In Jesus' name, amen.